going to speak tonight on the restoration of the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself his peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for some well-known verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God will bless the reading of these precious scriptures. I wish that there were some wonderful things called the land of beginning again. For all our heartaches and all our mistakes, we'd be dropped like an old ragged coat at the door, and never be put on again. So wrote the longing for it. And if she had read her Bible, of course, she would have known that there was such a wonderful place. For all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus spoke of it in the shadows of the cross to his disciples, full of questions and apprehension. He said to them, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions there. If it were not so, I would tell you, I would to prepare a place for you. If I go away, prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And so, he gave them, even in those dark hours, a hope that the Bible calls the blessed hope. The hope that is characterized not only by the blessing of God, but produces joy and radiant happiness in the lives of the people of God. Our hope is an essential ingredient with faith in the human personality. Said of Abraham, the great man of faith, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many generations. God has never left man without hope. Even in the darkest hours, there is always a gleam of hope. Because God knows we must always have hope. After the tragic fall of man in the garden, And Adam and Eve, instead of being children of the light, garbed in light and walking in the light, they lost their radiance. They lost their joy. They ceased the fellowship of God and stepped into the darkness. They became children of the dark and all hope there. Even if God gave them hope. As he spoke to Satan in the hearing of Adam and Eve, he told Satan that the seed of a woman would bruise his head, while he would bruise the shield, the seed of the woman. And at last, that first little baby was born. What a wonderful experience it must have been for Adam and Eve. See that first little human infant born into the race. Physically perfect. Without any of the aberrations that have penetrated the race because of sin. Physically perfect. But inheriting the nature of Adam's sinful nature. And when that little child was born, Eve, looking into that little baby face, delighted no doubt, she thought, here is the promised seed. And she called him possession. I've gotten a man from the Lord. But as a king, really. And then came another little baby. And she called him a breath, evil. She says, oh, surely one of them is that promised deliverer in our desperate need of alienation from God. You know the sad story that Cain rose up in the field one day and killed his brother. And he sent as a vagabond to wander on the earth, and he's still wandering. These thousands of years later, you read in the book of Jude, wandering in the blackness of darkness forever, like a wandering star. And so hope fades in the midst of centuries. Another prophet stands up, albeit a false prophet, but God gave him some truth to speak. And he stood up one day, and he said, the star shall appear, the star shall come out of Jude. Seed of the womb, the promised deliverer, was going to conclude the human race. Star of Jacob, who was going to conclude Jacob Israel, who was going to come by way of the nation of Israel. But Jacob is dead, his sons are dead, and hope all fades again. Then he was late for another prophet, and under the name of Isaiah, which is filled with hope. There's going to be a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Seed of the womb is going to come through the human race. Star of Jacob is going to come through the nation of Israel. And he's going to be a sovereign king because Jesse was the father of David. God's choice of king for Israel. But David is dead. And Solomon is dead. And his son, Rehoboam, takes the throne of each man. Kingdom is torn in two by Jeroboam, a servant, 10 tribes to the north, 3 tribes to the south, fall into idolatry. Syria comes down and sweeps the 10 tribes away, and they never come back. And over 100 years later, Nebuchadnezzar's armies come and take away the remains. Judah to the south and are carried away captive, and all hope disappears from the captivity. The end of the book, the Old Testament, is another prophet writer, or the name of Malachi. That the Son of Righteousness will rise, healing in the dream, and bring hope again, and there is a deliverer to come. Israel, as a nation, falls into darkness and despair for 400 years, with not a voice or a light from heaven, as she is ground under the heel of the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Assyrian, the Greek, and the Roman. Till one night, a few unnamed and unknown shepherds are sitting in the Judean hills watching over their sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. What had happened? All heaven explode in a song of praise, seed of the womb, star of Jesus, stem the Lord of the sin of Jacob, the one who will be the Son of righteousness, and the light of life, the form of that little baby born in Bethlehem. Oh, how we would love to live in this race of people without hope or help in any other way. How we would welcome him to our arms. The record is he came unto his own. His own. You see, then take him down to the battle. His body still bathed in sweat. Take him down to the battle. And the Bible says terror and his name of war. What miserable heroes are out there. Herod and his men of war set him at last. A king, you laugh? Then give him a crown. Some ran out and gave a crown. A thorns and pestle on his lovely brow. King, you laugh? Then let us anoint him. And he sat with a spittle into his face. King, they said, then give him a royal garment. They threw around his bleeding shoulders. Soldiers set on hand coat. A king then gave him a staff, and they put in his hand a wreath of mockery. They blindfolded him. Not that he should not see, but that they should not see those eyes. They beat him from one to another, let him wear the royal scarlet, and they cooled it from his cheek. And from his back before him. And at last, the heavy that came, and he leaped up the road, he took him out of the rocky, old skull road. And there they leaped from the oldest throne that men ever knew, to exalt the Lord Jesus, and they nailed him to it, to his hands and feet, and lifted him up. The disciples fell into dark despair, the shade of the storm, the hope of the darkness, and the world will not be true. But on the first day of the week, now what Acts 14:29 and 30 will be, and then they have fulfilled all that was written of them. They took him down from the cross and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead and hope revived. He was not here. He is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, the first message to the disciples. Hope revived. Is it really alive? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Hope springs up again, and after a little visit with his loved ones, he takes them out to all of it, on the side of the hill towards Bethlehem. And there, his feet move the ground. And his feet are taken up into heaven. Question is asked by Sandy here, looking up into heaven. This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. That was the last word of hope as he was taken up into the sky, and likely the last thing they saw were his hands and feet marked by the nails of Calvary. The church age begins, preaching of Christ and the resurrection. Great hope existed in those every day the Lord was soon to come. The centuries go on, Constantine rises up. 320 AD varies the church and the world, brings in the tokens of paganism, of Romanism, of Judaism. The great Babylonian system becomes manifest in the world, and darkness descends again in the whole faith. Into the dark ages. Then God ignites the flame. In the heart of a man here and a man there, a Luther, and a Calvin, and a Knox, and a Zwingli. The revival, the restoration of that great truth, the just shall live by faith, rain down across dark Europe. The Reformation takes place as they intended, the Reformation of the Lutheran Church. It couldn't be so, and so they seceded from that system. But they brought a great deal of the system with them. And Protestant system is set up under the auspices of the state churches. Formalism begins to table. Darkness again descends upon Christendom. About 150 or more years ago, spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit, little flames burst out in Europe in a different land of the world, where suddenly by the Spirit of God, precious truths were revived. The body, the oneness of the body of Christ, a priesthood of believers, the Lord's Supper, and the coming again, the imminence of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and little companies of people separated from the formal system, gathered alone to the name of the Lord Jesus, began to gather in land around the world. These great truths were recovered again for the people of God, calling them to holiness of life, steering them to missionary endeavor and the preaching of the gospel, godliness of behavior, reading and study of the Holy Scriptures, gathering alone to the name of the Lord Jesus and no other name. Life springs up and the gospel is preached and souls are saved. Another generation passes and another generation passes. These things begin to lose their grip upon us. We have reached that generation where there has been a great subsidence of the wonderful truths that were recovered 150 years ago. And with that subsidence, there has been the rise of worldliness, subsiding of gospel preaching, replacing the exposition of the scriptures with religious entertainment, and the loss of the sensitivity to the coming again, the soon return of the Lord Jesus. It is time again to lift that trumpet to our lips and sound it forth. Dear child of God, Jesus is coming again. It is our brother so aptly and I believe led of the Spirit opened our meeting with that note. We may never be at another conference. We have all plans for the future. Plans for meeting here and there and things to do. It is always the overriding purpose of God. The Lord will change our plans with a shout, a trumpet call, and we shall leave this old world forever as it is now, and pass into the presence of the Lord. This is the blessed hope of the believer. If we lose that hope, we fall into worldliness. If we lose that hope, all into carnality. All into seeking carnal alternatives rather than the Word of God. So we need to keep this blessed hope before us. But what is that hope? What is the hope that we have before us? It's the hope of the redemption of the body. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, His work was finished. It was complete and full, and when He saves a person, He saves the whole person. That's the meaning, really, of the title, the Gospel of Christ. That tells us the sufficiency of the message, that it reaches the whole man, body, soul, and spirit, heart, feelings, will, intellect, mind. All the person is involved in salvation, but the distinction is this, the redemption of the body has to wait until the rapture takes place. And God saves alcoholic, he doesn't take his liver. How will organ is going to suffer the result of his sinful life? And so we suffer in our bodies the result, many of the sinless result of sin in the human race. So the bodies we live in are still subject to pain and sorrow and tears and aches, and many perhaps in this very day and this very moment with aching back, sore head, legs, even sore heart because of the pain are involved in living in the body. One of the aspects of the blessed hope is the redemption of the body. We ourselves groan, says Paul to the Romans, within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, namely the redemption of the body. We shall be changed, said Paul in verse 15. We don't know what we're going to be like, said John, but we do know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We are going to be changed, and as the old preacher used to say, don't we need a change? I don't know how long we've been finished, but maybe I'm overcorking you. What has God been seeking to do in all those years? He's been seeking to effect a certain change, conforming us to the likeness of his beloved Son. And after all these 40-odd years, I have to bow my head in shamefacedness and acknowledge how little change there's been. How little change. He will do. It will take him 40 years, or 40 minutes, or 40 seconds, or in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Redemption of the body. If we have time to attend the Christianity 15, we will see there just what the Lord is going to do and what that change will involve. And he gives an example from anthropology. He gives an example from astronomy. And he gives an example from agriculture. Now, perhaps we would expect a reference that booklet to the illustration from astronomy. There are also celestial bodies and bodies celestial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the celestial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is thrown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So he likens the change that is going to take place to the star. We are not all going to shine in heaven with the same degree of glory, the Bible says so. There are going to be differences in the radiance of glory from one light to another, as the stars differ in their radiance of glory in the heavens. And what makes them differ? Well, I would suggest capacity for one thing. There are some stars that are larger and therefore appear brighter. And so the Spirit of God is working in us from day to day, seeking to develop our capacity for Christ. And those lives that submit to the Spirit's work and yield to the claims of Christ and yield their bodies and members for the Spirit of God to develop Christ in them, that will be seen as a visible radiance in heaven. Then there is proximity. There are some stars closer than others, and therefore appear brighter. And so there are those people of God who walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Many of these are never heard on a public platform. Many of these are never involved in anything that would be advertised. Many of these would never appear on a conference holder. But they walk with God. They walk in a sweet and holy communion with them, and we know them by the very radiance of their life right here. The public or couldn't catch it, and the after school changed it, and thank God the surgeon won't be able to remove it. We know them, don't we? Those godly, dear old sisters who walk with God. Those lovely young people who are committed to Christ and are living pure lives in a godless and moral world, and they are careful about every root and every word, and what they take into their body and their mind. They walk with God, and they live close to Christ with all that discipline and submission to the Spirit of God as they walk in proximity with the Lord Jesus, yoked with Him in His blessed easy yoke. That will be evident, so in the heavenly places, as a radiant glory. They will be seen to be those. And there are others whose lives were cut off before they reached their full maturity. At least they are cutaways,
I know, not away.
For their lives were intense for Christ, like a shooting star across the heaven, burns brightly but for a little while. The Lord passed over them to shine in the glory. And we shall shine, the Bible says, as the sun. Any other illustration? Tell us the wonders of the redemption of the body. That's the blessed hope of the child of God. It's also the hope of redeeming. David said of the little baby who died, he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him. He shall meet our loved ones again. Those who made away at Christ, beaten by disease, conquered by death, withered up by old age, laid their frail dust in the grave and met our sorrow. It was not separation so much as amputation. Part of our life is gone. We all will miss them. But they died in Christ, the beloved, we shall be dead. We'll meet them not as we laid them away, for we'll meet them in all the radiance of immortality. Relationships will not be the same, but they will not be cancelled. They will simply be transformed. So we gather with the people in family. We do. We do. A hope of reward. Some people say, with a kind of self-deprecating humility, I don't want any reward. And this old privilege to do the Lord, I'll be glad. I agonize, I beat my body under, I reach up. There's every picture of great endeavor, if but he can win the prize and gain the crown. Oh, there are crowns to be won, beloved. There are crowns to be won, there are prizes to be won. There are places in the kingdom to be entered. You think we're going to do in heaven? We're going to reign with him in heaven. As he extends his kingdom that will forever increase. As he populates those island universes. Send the state out to be his ambassadors and administrators and executives of his kingdom. We need heavenly ambition. Again, not for this world. But in the kingdom, strive to enter. Reward. There is a judgment for believers still to come. I think we need to preach this again. We're not getting away with anything, you know. Oh, there's no sense of moral reference to the penal consequence of sin. The judgment of believers is threefold. There's the judgment of the sinner. That's forever in the past, it's in place of the cross, and our blessed Savior bore our judgment as to the penal consequence of our sin, and that will never be raised at the judgment seat of Christ. But we must give an answer, we must give an accounting. Every man, every woman, every child of God, we must stand over against the judgment seat of Christ, and each give an answer for his life, for his work, and all that we have done in the name of will be tested by the fire of God's goodness. And that which survives the fire, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, will be the reward of the saints. And all the rest will be burned up. And as it said, that God shall wipe away all tears, those tears will be the tears of the judgment seat of Christ when we see our works burned up. I don't believe that for a minute.
I think we'd be so glad to see those works burned up that were of the flesh. I wish they were burned up right now. I wish I didn't even remember them. I think we'd be just so much in the mind of Christ, we'd be glad to see those things swept away that were not of God, and I wish we'd be able to feel grow up if ever. What the nine elements and the material things, there's labor involved. But in heaven there's no labor. When his servant shall serve him, and there's no labor in heaven. So shall rest from our labors in the place of holiness. For nothing that defiles shall enter there. If you are not saved to begin with, you will never be into heaven. For until your sins are forgiven, you have not been started to heaven. And I call upon you again, before this conference is over, if you are not saved, boys and girls, young people, or older folks, get the matter settled now, so that you will join with us by the grace of God in the realms of endless glory. Rest in the place of holiness. Rest in the place of happiness. Heaven is a happy place. Overseen by the blessed God, inhabited by the blessed of the Lord. The streets of heaven rings with the holy laughter of the saints, as they recount with joy God's image of grace and marvel with them. Heaven is a happy place. Heaven is a harmonious place. I never seen that. Wouldn't it be great to be able to sing? I've often thought that. The Lord will be giving you a voice to express your soul as you feel it within, and you open up and you let it go, and that song will not you go. You don't hear that. I wish I could just express it a little more. Dear God, I believe you have no wives and sisters. The Lord gives an nightingale as well as the crow, but remember that one day, going to join in the great hallelujah of course of heaven. Revelation chapter 19, the fourfold choir, chorus of heaven. Hallelujah, 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 four times. Said the last one, like the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering. You know, can you imagine all the saints in heaven? And all given new voices. And the chief musician of heaven, the Lord Jesus, is dressed with his golden voice, ringing the praise of the great congregation in the hallelujah chorus of heaven. We'll need everybody that day. These old bodies just in the handful of the emotion of it. I said it would be the harmonious. Many years ago, I was in hospital for a number of weeks, and I was feeling very much, missing the gatherings of the saints, and I didn't actually even start to kill him shortly afterwards. And with a beautiful tenor voice, but he came up to see me. He bought his guitar, a lovely double string guitar. It was a classical guitarist, so played beautifully. And I said, oh, son, shut the door, let him sing. And he was a singer, and I was just kind of a mumbler along with him, but I wanted to join with him in the songs of the Lord. And he went, all the hymns, all the hymns we could remember for a whole hour, we sang the songs we sang in the hospital room. So when he left, the nurse came in. She said, did you see him? I said, the door was closed, I didn't see anything. She said, nothing makes you a faint below the door. We're all standing outside, there's something in it. She said, that young fellow's coming back tonight. I said, I think he is. We'll tell the next shift. So that night we came back, my connection came back, and my wife, and I think some of the kids were there, and my father-in-law, who is the voice of a gentle plum horn. And we could go open on the first notch, so we left it open a flute, and we all joined together, and we sang the song, sang for a whole hour. And we went home, and the nurse came in to fix me up for the night, she leaned on the end of the bed, she said, Mr. Nicholson, we were listening to you singing. I was raised in such and such a religion. She said, I have no song. Tell me, sir, what is the secret of your song? I was so happy to tell her. The one who dug me out of the and put my feet on a rock, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Heaven is an harmonious place. no pain there. No pain in it. What is pain? Pain is a signal that something is wrong. We don't like it, but it is an essential part of the alarm system. That's the problem with the leper, you see. The leper has no pain in his extremities. And you see, the leper, and he loses his extremities, fingers and toes, and ears, nose, these are gone, he's in a way by the disease he cannot feel. Pain is an essential part of the alarm system. It says something is wrong. And the pain of it is right there. And he knows there's something wrong. But in heaven, no pain, because nothing can ever possibly go wrong. In my home, of course, we shall rest in a place. And my bones, my dear mother died. She was a beautiful lady, I tell. And the way that sun does it with mother. There was no wrinkle on her brow. And as we stood by the casket, I felt very, very dark in my spirit. She had prayed for me from before I was born and every day that I had lived. It was a tremendous loss I was feeling. And I stood there, and an old sister came in, an old Russian lady, old friend of my mother's came in, and she shuffled over to the casket beside me. She looked quietly and came around down her cheek. She opened her voluminous bag and dug out the Kleenex and wiped the tears. She turned to me and she said, "Well, boy, she got better, didn't she?" And she shouted right in my darkness. "Oh, I wanted her to get better, but I hadn't thought of far better. Far better." Then she got better. A lot in the woman. We're all the same for far better than we are. That's something. We think we're far better than they are. The good of others and they're far better than you are. We're with the Lord. We rest in the grace of fullness. No tears there. What are tears? Tears of the outward expression of limitation. If we're full of joy, and we get over full of joy, we can't express it, what do we do? We weep for joy. We are silent, and we cannot contain the overflowing tears. Tears are the expression of the limitations of our soul. Yeah. But in heaven, no tears. For there we shall have the capacity for the fullness of joy. And even the tears of joy will be shed in heaven. The old preacher used to go around to the castle, his name was Mr. George Broome, the old Irishman. He went to visit a dear old friend, his wife was dying, and his back was fixed to one on either side of the bed. The old sister raised her lap, passed into the presence of the Lord, and as she did, one tear that had been hanging in the corner of her eye overflowed and ran down her wrinkled cheek. The old man, the partner of many, many years, reached into his pocket, took out his handkerchief, and very tenderly wiped that tear from the cheek on his beloved partner, and said, "Well, Mary, that's the last one." So true. The child of God, the day will come, and you'll meet your last tear. Because we shall enter into the place of moves, rest, in the place rest in the place of immortal life. There is no death. What is death? Death is separation. Separation from God, even on this earth. My little grandchildren come over to say goodbye to me when I'm going away preaching. Some part of me wants to see them and the other part wishes to win car. They get awful hard to say goodbye. One time I was pulling out in the car and feeling my little grandchildren were at the screen door and they were all crying to feel me. As I was driving out the driveway, heading for some place for a month of meeting, they just made it round the corner and a fool of me did it and they did all. I don't need to do for that stuff. Separations are hard. Now I know. But in heaven, no separation. Together with the Lord. We will never say goodbye. Death is a place of immortal life. We will know death. roast for eternal limits. Roast salmon will be there, that's created life. Roast woman will be there, that's reflected life. Roast lamb will be there, that's disposable light, extinguishable light. But on other hands, there will be the rosy radiance of the Lamb of God himself. And that shadowless light of the Lamb will illumine every scene and landscape and glory of that heavenly place, and everything we see will reflect to us the remembrance of what it cost God to get us there. We shall always be in an attitude of worship, because there's no temple there. Now, look at that history. I mean, you think you can't want to recall it in heaven, thinking all the time of God. Because he sees all of that place in a sanctuary, and every deed is sanctified, and every word is sacred and honored to God. And if the love comes to the account, oh, hope, of mighty hope, of the believer who will rest in that beautiful city, city of the clean and fair, where the few drop all of God, salt, farewell, broken tile, all forever known for God. There amidst the whole rest, I shall be a welcome guest. I'm a sinner. It's the hope of revelation. And they shall see his face. What did he look like? The artist of crime with colored clay and painted lightning, but they're all a disappointment, aren't they? They project their old imagination to present you of some kind of an appearance of Christ. But they need in color clay to represent the one who is the light of the universe. But when we have seen him, the radiance of his being in all the spectrum of the rainbow, and the flashes of lightning, and the brightness of the sun, will gloriously portray to us our blessed Lord and Savior. And that is what will make heaven, heaven for us. I know we can talk about this, but there are many little stories I've told hundreds of times, but they make a second impact on me with this book. Not my business book is to come out of the service when I'm sitting in a tent in Burma, to move the bondings, got our ship for home. We thought we were on another ship, there were only 200 British officers on board. We thought. But after we were out a day, we discovered there were 2,000 Italian prisoners of war down below. So we had to run to the boat deck on the SS Cynthia, the beautiful ship, all we got over the end of the war. Those 2,000 of them, all they had for opening it was the length of the day as long as it was the width of the day. Quite a good day. But for 2,000 men, it wasn't quite enough. And so when the sun went down in the evening that we sailed, these men would come out into the open air and just fill that place. And we would go to the end of our deck and look down on them, and many of them had mandolins and guitars and musical instruments. And they would sing the evening a holy, holy, holy song, and we just enjoyed listening to them singing those patriotic and sentimental songs of home. And we traveled through the Red Sea, up through the Suez canals, and set into the Mediterranean, past the Straits of Messina, past the old stronghold, and round by the Jewish and into Naples Bay, we could feel the tension building up with those men, because many of them had not been home for many, many years. And as we got from our vantage point on the top deck, we could see over the sheds. And there was a big tent where all the men were being directed through that tent to be released officially sent out to meet his friends who were multitudes held back by great iron women, waiting for the governor. But there was a little boat down that had been permitted in Sinai, and they were down on the dock, about 30 or 40 people, held by a giant boat of the wind thing. A giant plank was let down. One by one, the nets started coming down with their chip bags. And I tell you, there was no insight as we watched them arrive home. One big fellow got to the bottom of the gangplank and he started dancing round in a circle, shouting out, "Liberty! Liberty!" He was no longer a prisoner, he was free fighting. One fellow was dying in the bottom, he didn't say a word. He just threw down his kit bags and threw himself down, lying on the ground and kissed the cobblestones. Home, sweet home. One fellow that touched my heart the most was a young, strong-looking young fellow with tinted bags over his shoulder, making his way down the gangplank. Suddenly he just got down and thundered the way when the voice of a man over here was heard shouting, "Julio!" He looked down and he was this man waving his arm. The young fellow dropped his kid by right there on the gangplank, started looking down the partition gangplank. The very few police at the bottom tried to stop him and direct him over to the tent. He broke past them, headed for the fence. The fence couldn't stop him. And all the people, he's in a flying leap right over their head. And he got his arm on the ground underneath of that man. And he could hear the voice for very short. I don't know who he was. Father? Brother? But what do you think he was thinking about at that moment? He told me, "Home? The olive groves, the sunshine, the Mediterranean landscape. Liberty! Freedom!" I think what filled his heart at that moment, the man had not. Yes, he will. The little Christian is going to stop it. Celebrate in a moment. And thank him for that. To be transported into the presence of the Lord. To look around and see the landscapes of glory. Sights that have never dawned upon our eye or our imagination. To hear the sounds of kindred and chords and harmonies, the like of which we never imagined. To breathe the clean, sweet air of heaven and know. To hold! To hold. Lord, we're free. Free with us wicked old heart, free with us flesh, so failing, so disappointed. Free of the movable clock, forever hound in its alarm. Free at last, no wonder to be free. No, my friend, that's not what we need to say. They shall see history. That first, long, loving look into the blessed countenance of the man who died in the house. The quality of sleep and the story of the love of sinners and the world. Walking through the factory where we run into us. Walking past the vendors of the view, and turn the corner. Another man will come in the other way, just as fast, and we almost collide with. Only into the past, out into his face and his mind was an older brother of his family, who went there. We smiled at each other. I will forget when he did. His hands on my shoulders, as if I didn't want to. And he said, "Instantly shall I be with him. Instantly back with him." In brother, this is going to be just another one day. Good night. With your ignition key, your car on the front to start the day work. Just clearing the table off the kid that has run the school into the dishes. Taking the clothes out of the washing machine. Taking the cover off the typewriter. Just checking in for clients. Just not breathing. Just going down Main Street and then a few groceries. With your left foot down on Main Street, your right foot down on heaven. That's just how it's going to happen. We Christians, we talk about it. We need to think about it. And we thank God for it. But when we say this, we will have it. Jesus is coming again, but we need this blessed hope. It will keep us from investing in this old world. It will keep us from investing in this old world. change from thinking that we're doing better. Oh, we don't know this with our eyes. And revive again this blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. I invite him today. Don't think so. Just wondering. But we will gather ourselves right now to this conference, to that conference, the assembly of the saints. God will allow our doers, I think you can say, the last prayer in the Bible. I think we can be honest with you and say, he will so come, Lord Jesus, in the future, for his name's sake. Hear this calling and prayer, and this thanks will soon be a very beautiful advantage of living out of a verse of him. O blessed Lord our Father, we are still grateful to our Lord and Savior. And this gift by the Lord's Son, which such is done. Father, we thank him for all the loveliness of Christ. What joy he has brought to thy heart. What eternal lineage he was ever thy delight. His radiance of glory, the eternal spirit, dwelling in the eternal lineage of forever and angels serve. For a shower from his face of unveiled, solitary, inglorious dignity, demands of fools, needing no one, and needing nothing to complete thyself. Within thy heart, there was a love he had from his self, to bring into being creatures, that will be introduced to thy beloved Son, and made one with him, share in the very jaws of the Godhead. The dream of my friends for sure. So my own never made in your life. I'd enter one with room while stars and say, the legend choice of all the stars and come. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for Calvary, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, blessed Savior. And oh, we thank you for the blessed hope that we shall see you. Perhaps we can believe in the mind which will be gathered in the mind. Help us to live in the lesson. Help us to live in the expectancy of it. Live in the teaching of it. And we will come with you. And then just by living purely and fully by so that God the seen and love for the lost with our own hand if the Bible is dying. The remnant of the Master. We ask it as we thank you again for all our kindness. In this regard, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.